I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Dave and Dujanovic, special coverage of the top national story.
Well, we know through his post on Truth Social that former President Donald Trump believes that he'll be arrested any moment today. It all stems from this $130,000 hush money payment that went to adult film star Stormy Daniels after an alleged affair took place in 06. I just want to bring our listeners up to speed. I'm not seeing that there's been any arrest made so far, Dave.
Yeah, presidents over the years, not just President Trump, they've had very public scandals. And when it comes to their personal lives, I think of John F. Kennedy, and he was infamous for his cheating, most notably his affair with Marilyn Monroe, Bill Clinton, Monica Lewinsky, Bill Clinton. Also in Paula Jones, he paid $850,000 to Paula Jones. You'll remember that from the Washington Post report. To drop a sexual harassment lawsuit. Now we have the former President Trump and Stormy Daniels. But I think the question we're asking is, at what point does it cross the line from scandal to criminal?
Well, we're going to get Jim Curry, who's a University of Utah Associate Professor of Political Science, to talk more specifically about the role of the House or Congress at all in this. The Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy. Professor, are you there?
I'm here. How are you doing?
Hi, good. Welcome to class. we always appreciate you being at the front of the room for these discussions. So House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, he had this to say about the allegations made by the Manhattan DA that are now sitting before a grand jury in New York.
You can go through lawyer after lawyer after lawyer. We'll tell you this is the weakest case out there. Trying to make a misdemeanor a felony. The timeline doesn't work because it's too long past. And doing it after a person for political purposes.
And now Speaker McCarthy is talking about bringing this Manhattan district attorney in front of Congress to essentially defend his actions. Professor Curry, what's going on here? What do you make of this? And is there a role for Congress to play to step in?
I mean, this fits right into the narrative or one of the talking points that House Republicans have, like, since they've taken back the majority in the House in January. Which is that Democrats and liberals are weaponizing the federal government to silence conservatives. In fact, they launched a whole select committee on this just to investigate allegations along these lines. And so when you have a district attorney who's, you know, like supposedly preparing to arrest a former president about a scandal and about charges that, you know, are clearly illegal, but like have happened with presidents both in the past, It's an easy line of attack. It's an easy way to like fit it into a talking point that the House Republicans have already had for the last several months.
Do you think Congress should get involved in this from your level of expertise, or is this just one they should leave alone and let the process work?
I mean, I think, you know, like all else equal, you should generally let the legal process play out. But, you know, this is politics. And you're going to, when you have a House majority, when you have a House party that are where this fits right into their political talking points, they're going to get involved. They're going to hold hearings. Those hearings would probably not be any sort of serious hearings that would lead to any sort of specific outcomes on legislation or anything like that. But it's a way to try to score political points and continue to try to hammer Democrats on things like using the federal government to attack conservatives and to attack Trump.
What does it mean if a former president is arrested? And where my mind goes. I think back to Gerald Ford pardoning Richard Nixon. I want to play a little bit of his explanation. He made an address to the nation. Let me play a little bit of this from Gerald Ford.
Or someone must write the end to it. I have concluded that only I can do that. And if I can, I must.
And President Ford famously pardoned Richard Nixon. And the reason was he thought the country needed to be able to move on. So, again, my original question, what do you make of it if a former president is arrested?
You know, it's really complicated in this case in terms of, like, what do we make of it? Because I think Ford's point was so clear and so good that what we don't want is to be dragging our former officials through legal proceedings that may or may not have to do with politics, because it can create the impression that in our country you can jail political opponents, you can jail people for doing things politically that you don't like. On the other hand, you also don't want a situation where you can say that certain people are above the law,
yeah.
Right? And so you don't want to have a situation where, well, if you happen to be president now, it's okay for you to do things that are illegal. And it's a really tight line, really hard tightrope to walk, because you don't, either of those extremes is not good. And so this is a situation where someone's trying to walk that tightrope where Donald Trump, like, there's enough evidence that Donald Trump may have done something illegal, or perhaps he should be charged and face criminal charges in a trial and all the things that happened in our country. But on the other hand, you don't want the appearance of what the way House Republicans and other Republicans are presenting it as. You don't want the appearance that this is some sort of use of the legal process to attack political opponents. And so you see that tension inherent in the messaging that's happening today that goes right back to the type of decision that Gerald Ford had to make back in the 1970s.
Professor Jim Curry, thank you for joining us from the University of Utah. He teaches political science there. Thanks.
Thanks, Professor. No sooner did I say what I said yesterday in our conversation with Boyd at 11:05 about if I were Governor Ron DeSantis, or if I were advising Governor Ron DeSantis to stay out of it. Do not attach yourself in any way to what is going on between the Manhattan DA and President Trump. And we stepped out of studio and we got an alert that DeSantis had said something.
I have no interest in getting involved in some type of manufactured circus by some Soros DA.
Yeah, but he did go after the DA on it, sort of standing up to in some regard for President Trump. I was surprised. I was like, just stay out of it. Why are you going to roll around in the mud on that one?
But what's very interesting about this, and very unique, because obviously whether it's Ron DeSantis, whether it's Mike Pence, who will both likely run for president against or at least vie for the nomination against President Trump, typically this is a situation when you have an opponent – struggling or floundering or flapping around in the water, drowning politically, where you just let it happen and probably try to push them down and pile on a little bit.
Right.
But they're in a unique situation where, is if you do that against the former president, you very well could lose his base. And that base is a must. You must have that base if you have any chance of winning the nomination. So they're in this weird world where they have to defend him.
Well, I don't know.
But
what
it kind of shoots themselves in feet, in their foot.
Yeah, why did you just say nothing?
You can't. They want, President Trump is demanding that Mike Pence, Nikki Haley, Ron DeSantis come out and support them. And
therefore, the talking point is attack the DA.
Yeah.
Attack the DA, attack the legal system, talk about it being a political war game. I guess it kind of feels like they're checking a box, right?
You're right.
We talked about it. If
it weren't President Trump, people would pounce and bury this candidate. They would bury this candidate politically because it helps them. They can't do it, though. And that is so strange.
Straight ahead, we're going to dive into credit card debt when we go right on the money. Average credit card debt across America right now is almost $6,200. Do you have a credit card with points or with cash back rewards?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A couple.
that's just the beginning of the problem that we're going to dive into next.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.